I'll be up there in your area again. I got my tickets today for AEW All Out in September.
When in September?
September 4th. They always do it Labor Day weekend.
I am not off that weekend anyway, so.
I will be there again. I can't remember where I'm
staying. That's a Sunday, right?
Yeah.
I actually will be off that day because the 3rd is my friend's 30th birthday.
Oh, yeah, but you're not going to be in any kind of commission. You're going to be all hungover and dead.
Probably a little bit. But you know what? It could be fun coming to the city just to annoy the ever-loving fuck out of you.
Well, not in the city. I'm in Hoffman Estates. I wish it was the city because I got off last year when we went to that damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
After the show, we were both starving. There wasn't a fucking place open to eat anywhere in the area because every place closed. It was a Sunday night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I made like three different excursions out of the hotel. And finally, the last time I came back, I just told my kid, just go to sleep. We'll eat tomorrow. Hello and welcome to This Horror Life. My name is Rob Humphrey, joined as always by my co-host, Ghost. Ghost, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. You know, living the dream and took a nap, so I'm all refreshed. I'm not going to sleep tonight, but that's all right. Whatever. Tomorrow's Friday. They can't expect me to be that productive at work.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably do, but, you know, it's Friday. So.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah.
Did you get to be casual on Fridays, at least?
I mean, I work at a radio station. It's pretty much casual every day.
Well, it's not extra casual. You can't show up in like pajama pants or something.
I mean, you know what? Honestly, I've never done that, but I really don't think anybody would say anything. Normally, my workday attire is blue jeans and a t-shirt. So, I mean, I guess.
Fair.
Yeah, if I were going to go casual, it would be that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Sometimes I wear shorts, but not very often. All right. Have you been up to anything since we last recorded? Anything you checked out?
I'll be honest. I have gotten into, you know, I get into these phases where I start watching a TV show just because I throw something on or whatever, and then I get so invested in it, and which is the main reason why when I watch stuff, I especially like longer shows that are already established, I have to really be in the mindset because I know that's going to happen. But I cannot stop fucking watching Ink Master right now.
Oh, yeah. I've been down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
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 I think I even signed up for a different streaming service that I didn't have to watch the rest of it because there were only a few seasons on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then like the last half of the series was on something else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think there's two seasons on Netflix right now and the rest, they're all on Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's the one I signed up. I think I'm still paying for that actually.
Well, you should probably figure that out. Watch Scream again and then cancel it.
I don't know. I don't remember if I'm paying for it or not, to be honest, because there's one of those like that or Peacock or something I get free with my cell phone plan.
Oh, that's nice.
Anyway, yeah, but I have been down the Ink Master hole, yeah. And then I got a tattoo, and I was like, well, hold on. I mean, look at the, you know, like, I know what I'm talking about. This guy's probably like, what an asshole.
Yeah, I've been down the rabbit hole. I think mostly because I've been going through a lot of shit recently, and, like, my gut instinct when I'm doing that is, like, I need needle therapy. I need ink therapy. I need to get a piercing. I need a tattoo. I don't have money for either of those right now. No, so I'm going to watch Ink Master and pretend I'm getting fucking tattooed right now.
No, that's what my Instagram is like, 90% tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all I look at on there. But I would have been thinking about wanting to get another tattoo too. But my problem is I have no idea what I want to get and I have no way to pay for it. So there's that.
Yeah. I have too many ideas of things I want, small and large, but I just don't have the money right now.
Yeah. Ink Master. Yeah, it's a fun show.
Yeah, that's the rabbit hole I've been down recently. Yeah. I just, you know, sometimes you throw something on just to like listen to it or have it on in the background and then you get so invested in it quickly and you're like, fuck.
I will tell you, When you finish Ink Master, if you like that show, there's another show called Below Deck you should check out.
No, I think I'm good. I don't think I'm.
There's plenty of seasons of various Below Deck franchises now that you can check out.
No, you know what? I think I'm good. I will say I keep seeing this movie pop up on TikTok called Incantation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Taiwanese horror movie that's on Netflix. It's supposed to be like just fucking batshit.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So that's on my list of things to watch. Okay. Mm. Hopefully this weekend. We'll see though.
All right. Yeah. Maybe check that out. But yeah, Below Deck Med just started a new season.
So, nope. All right. Yeah, I think I'm good.
Only a couple of episodes behind. You can catch up in no time.
Nope.
So I have I've been watching Below Deck, and I have also been I finished The Quarry.
Oh, nice.
My first playthrough. It was not very successful. I managed to either basically kill everybody.
Yeah.
There you go. I think there was one person I didn't kill, unfortunately for me, but a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. They're same complaints that I said the last time when I talked about the game. Like there are a lot of like what seems like really long stretches where you just sit there and don't do anything. More so than even their other games, I think. But it's a lot of fun. I still really enjoyed it. I liked the story and it was a good time. I watched some movies. I watched the 2021 film The Resort, which is on Hulu.
Yeah.
It is garbage.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, it was listed. The reason I watched it was I thought, well, this looks kind of entertaining. And it was listed as a slasher.
It's not a slasher?
Yeah, it's not a slasher movie at all. It's totally not. It's 100% like haunted resort paranormal movie.
I was
going to
say, it's like paranormal.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with being a slasher. So I sat there for an hour and a half, like, what the hell is going on? Why is there no guy in a mask chopping these people up? Instead, it's a ghost. Huh? Yeah, it's a really bad movie. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
Although it was shot, I guess they shot it in Hawaii. I don't know where they shot it, but it was beautiful wherever they shot it. I mean, for that, it was kind of cool. Like, you know, watching pretty people walk around a pretty place is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was looking for a slasher and that was not it. Similarly, I was looking for a shark movie. So I watched the 2022 film, The Requine or Requine.
Oh, you
or whatever.
Watched it.
Yeah.
The fucking awful, right?
The movie is so bad. I was an hour into that shark movie before I saw a shark.
That's literally what I said to my sister when we were watching it. I was like, how the fuck have we gotten this far? And it's supposed to be a shark movie and we haven't seen one. And then when you finally do see like the sharks, they're fucking terrible.
Yeah, this movie was so bad. I hated it. And it was, I mean, just an hour of just talking. And then this fucking shark finally shows up. And who cares at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in the poster, it looks like a shark movie, but it's not. It's like a falling apart like, marriage movie.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would definitely classify that as like a drama more than like horror or thriller.
Yeah, it's just a shark
like
just happens to show up at the end for fun or whatever. I mean, it is so bad.
Yeah, the worst part about the movie too, on top of everything that was bad, was just how like they CGI'd the shark, but it was so terribly done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks so bad.
Yeah. It was an awful movie. And then I watched 2022's Watcher. I was so excited to finally get to see this. I tried to see this in theaters like three times and it never worked out. And now it is streaming someplace. I don't remember where I watched it, but it's on some service, Hulu maybe, or I don't remember. Anyway, this one's really good. I really like this movie. It's a slow burn. It fits that sort of, we talked about A24 as a genre. This would probably fall into that. It's about a young woman who moves with her boyfriend to Bucharest for his job.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know anybody there. She doesn't speak Romanian. She doesn't, you know, she's just completely on her own. He's got a job, so he's gone all day and she's just there by herself. And she sees this creepy guy, like they have this real nice apartment. It's got these big windows. And she sees this guy in the apartment building across the street, who's just like constantly standing in his window watching her.
Creepy.
And it starts to freak her out. And then there's a news report that she's in, people talking about the serial killer who's running loose in the city at the same time. And yeah, it's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Hmm.
And then I watched the 2022 film Terror Trips, which is it's a fun movie. It's about a group of people who start a business where they go to horror movie locations and they take, you know, tour groups there, and they do a tour and they screen the film in that location. And it's a lot of fun. They sort of a lot of sort of in the know stuff, like they talk about going to Camp Nobi Scoby where they film Friday the 13th and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a low budget movie, but it's made really well. The acting's pretty solid in it throughout. I really enjoyed it. But they end up going to a small town in Poland where this mysterious movie was filmed, which turns out was a real movie. I looked it up. It's a whole weird story behind this movie. And things go awry with the local folk there. Also in a very small role in the film, our friend Damien Maffei shows up. So anyway, check out Terror Trips. I like that one a lot. And then the last thing I watched was also from 2022, starring Scout Taylor Compton, called The Long Night. And that one's on Shudder. Boy, it's a dud of a movie. I didn't like it at all. So I would avoid that. It's about a cult. And it's just, it's extremely predictable. Like I called the ending 15 minutes into the movie, you know? So
yeah,
I would avoid that one. I mean, unless you got, it's like the acting and stuff is good. So, you know, that'll get you through, I guess, but ultimately it's not breaking any new ground. It was a long night. So that is what I've been up to since we last recorded.
Alrighty.
All right. News wise, what do we got? Well, big news today, actually. Did you see that? Yeah. Samara Weaving has joined the cast of Six Cream.
I sure did. I'm very excited about that. I adore her.
Yeah, that's really good news. She's really good. And oh goodness.
Rob's dying.
Yeah, and she had a lot of success with the Radio Silence people with Ready or Not. So looking forward to that. Should be what the hell's going on with my throat?
I don't know.
It's a good sign for this movie, which needed a good sign.
Yeah.
Because
it'd after been that all... Manhattan bomb or the fucking yeah. New York bomb or whatever, like
yeah,
whew,
yeah.
So it needed something.
We can look for that. Did you see the Munsters trailer dropped?
I saw that it dropped. I did not watch it. I saw quite a few people were very disappointed in it.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
it looks like garbage.
Yeah.
It looks really bad. You know, again, I said this to somebody I was talking to, but the Black Phone had a terrible trailer. Mm-hmm. I hated that black. Like, I almost didn't go see the Black Phone because I thought the trailer was terrible. The movie was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hoping for is that this trailer is just like a stylized kind of trailer, but the movie isn't going to be entirely like this trailer, because the trailer is just over the top.
I'm watching it right now.
Retro, campy, terrible. So it would be nice, which fits the show, but I don't want to watch a movie of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of online reaction to Rob Zombie's The Munsters finally getting a trailer, which looks absolutely terrible. But hopefully the movie will be good. Did you watch it?
I'm watching it right now.
All right.
I never watched The Munsters though. So like, I don't really know what I'm looking for. This just kind of looks like as someone who doesn't really know shit about The Munsters, it just looks very campy and like, obviously comedic.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the show was.
It doesn't look awful. It looks like it's geared more towards children.
Yeah, it looks terrible to me. Here's the thing. Watching that trailer, I'm like, do I want to sit through 90 minutes of this? There's no way I want to sit through 90 minutes of that.
I mean, I kind of feel like you have to see it though.
Oh, yeah, of course I do. But, you know, it's whatever. I didn't want to sit through his Halloween movies either, but I watched them.
All right. I didn't finish the trailer, but yeah, that's my two cents on it. Right. It looks like it's aimed towards children.
Yeah, it looks bad is what it looks. Alex Garland's new A24 horror movie Men hit theaters in May. It's a terrible movie, but if you don't believe me, you can catch it on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital starting August 9th. Are you going to watch Men?
You know, I did want to see it.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't really know much about it. I remember seeing like the little teasers of it. I don't think I ever watched like a trailer for it.
Yeah. But it's, I was not a fan of that. If it
ever pops up on streaming somewhere, maybe I'll get around to watching it.
Okay, fair enough. Stranger Things and Ghostbusters Afterlife star Finn Wolfhard has a new horror comedy slasher movie in development. Apparently he is writing and directing. It's called Hell of a Summer.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Are you? All right, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Are you interested in a film written and directed by Finn Wolfhard? I don't know if he's going to star in it. I just say that there, but
I don't know if he's starring in it, but I am interested to see. He's got a lot of different projects that he's been doing.
Didn't he have a band at some point or something?
Yes. He currently is. I'm not 100% sure because I never followed it. Had a band and he's done a lot of other stuff, so I'm interested to see how that goes. You know, I mean, he's got to have some experience being, you know, a child actor and kind of growing up into, I mean, he's an adult now, growing up literally in front of a camera and filming these shows. So he kind of knows a little bit, I would say. I don't know. I'm interested to see. He's working on it with someone else. Also, it's not a solo project.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know who it is though.
Yeah, I didn't even pay that much attention to the story. I was just like, all right, yeah, we'll talk about this for a minute. Scott Derrickson's The Black Phone is coming to demand on Friday. It made $100 million worldwide at the box office. Wow. It is well worth your time and money if you haven't seen The Black Phone yet. Are you gonna check that out?
Yes, is on my list of things to check out. I don't have the money lying around to rent it, so we'll see.
All right. Have you seen Train to Busan?
Nope.
All right. Great zombie film. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Well, good news. You don't have to read the subtitles if you don't want, because there's an American remake on the way.
Isn't it like Train to New York or Train to Manhattan?
The Last Train to New York. And it will be out April 2023. I'm calling it now. It's going to be terrible.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. You do not need to remake a movie that's like 3 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's in a foreign language. Americans aren't going to read that.
Don't care. You don't need to remake it. Do a dub. Yeah. I know people are fucking lazy. That's like one of my biggest pet peeves, when people are like, oh my God, I can't stand subtitles. I won't watch anything. Dude, I just firmly believe that those people are just cannot read fast enough for subtitles.
It could be, but Train to Busan is an excellent movie, and I can't wait to see how they screw this one up, because I'm certain
they are going to.
The American remakes of things never come out.
Well, things get lost in translation, like literally, because a lot of times I feel movies that are, even though they're in a foreign language, they play to their culture a lot. Mm-hmm. And what we think or what they think is bad, we might not think is necessarily bad or scary. So it gets lost in translation. So it's like, okay, why do it?
There's that. And also they tend to sometimes Americanize these movies. By that, I mean, they'll take a movie that has like a bleak ending and like, well, we can't put that out. Audiences want a happy ending. And it's like,
love bleak endings.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons I loved The Mist so much. I was like, damn, what a fucking ending.
But I will say, and the only one that I think has turned out decent is the American remake of Let the Right One In. It's not as good as the original, but it still came out okay.
Yeah.
But most of them are just bad.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I have is the Salem's Lot remake has been pushed. It was set to be out September 9th. It is now not coming out until April 21st.
Wow. So, they really pushed it.
Yeah. Quite a push on that. I'm not sure, what the reason behind that is. Typically not a good sign though.
No, I was going to say, you know what that sounds like? Reshoots.
Yeah. It's usually not a good sign when a movie gets pushed, especially that far. I mean, you know, during the COVID lockdown or something, then you understand.
Right. But it's clearly not that many months. It's not a COVID related thing.
Yeah. So
especially since it was supposed to be out when?
It was supposed to be out September 9th.
September. Yeah. They should be well into the editing phase and kind of polishing things up. So that's what that sounds like to me is fucking reshoots.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll wait and see. You know, I'll probably check it out. I'm not a huge Salem's Lot fan. So
I don't believe I've ever actually seen Salem's Lot.
Yeah. It's
I know it's the vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's okay. But you know, it was a mini series, I believe. So it's kind of long. And
yeah.
I don't know. It was, you know, made for TV, so it's not super gory or scary or anything. I don't know. I just not a huge fan of it.
I mean, it was a TV miniseries, and I mean, it wasn't super gory, but like it was still really good and it's held up. I don't know about Salem's Lot because I've never seen it. I know my mom was really liked Salem's Lot.
Yeah.
It's one of her favorite Stephen King books. So,
Well, that is the news that I have. Did you have anything?
Yeah, I have just a couple of things that actually dropped today, news wise. The Chucky season 2 teaser trailer dropped today. And the series will officially be back October 5th.
I ever finished season 1.
Oh my god, you should.
I think I still have like 2 episodes left or something.
Oh my god, you have to finish it. It's so good. I'm very excited about this. I can't wait to see what the fuck is going to happen now.
Chucky's going to kill people. Spoiler alert.
Clearly. No shit. Oh, you're the worst. And then do you remember when we were talking about that Winnie the Pooh horror film?
I do remember that.
Yeah, poster dropped today.
I saw it. And
this ain't no bedtime story. He looks fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, actually. I'm getting a little excited about this movie.
I am so excited for it.
Yeah. So they said what, December they were hoping, maybe?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't think this has like a date or anything on it, but it does say that in this version of the classic story, Christopher Robin is headed off to college and he has abandoned his old friends, which then leads to the duo embracing their inner monsters. Christopher Robin is pulled away from them and he's not given them food. It's made Pooh and Piglet's life quite difficult because they've had to fend for themselves so much they've essentially become feral, so they've gone back to their animal roots.
Yeah, I'm in. I'll check that out.
Yep. They're no longer tame. They're like a vicious bear and pig who want to go around and try and find prey.
All right. Yeah, I'll watch that. Why not?
I am so fucking excited. Yep. The article here went on to say that Tigger and Eeyore won't appear in the movie due to copyright issues. The story in his mind is it's just Pooh and Piglet.
Okay. All right. I'm not too heartbroken about that. That'll be fine. I just want to see Winnie the Pooh axe people. That'll be awesome.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll jump into the topic, if that's everything you've got.
Yep, that was it.
So we've done an episode on found footage movies, but we've not done our top 5 found footage films.
Yeah.
So I thought we would do that. And also we were sort of scrambling for a topic.
Yeah, we didn't really think this through.
But that's all right. I still think this will be fun. And I don't remember. I'm sure I said this on the found footage episode, but you know, I typically don't like found footage.
I do.
It's something that, like, if I hear a movie's found footage, that's a reason for me not to watch it. Now there are some that are well done, and the ones that are well done are very good, but most of them are not. Same thing with zombie films. I find that if you tell me it's a zombie movie, I'm going to put off watching it because I'm just over zombies at this point.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. And found footage is, like I said, it's just something I've never really enjoyed too much anyway.
I think because a lot of found footage is just done horribly. Mm-hmm. It's not done well.
Right. Well,
and it's easy for indie or for really low budget films to be like, okay, we're going to go found footage because it's easier for them to shoot. They don't have to think so much about, okay, well now I've got to design this whole ass monster and figure out practical effects for it and all this stuff. They can just have it be something that's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just cheaper.
Which I think why. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I think, the part of the shame of it, because I do think when found footage is done well, it can be really good. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think the difference is when you sit down to make a movie and you decide to make it found footage because it's better for the story, then mm-hmm. It could turn out to be a really good found footage film. But more often than not, it's, hey, we got a little bit of money, let's throw together this found footage thing.
You know? Right.
And you can tell the difference. So let's dive into our top fives. Did you have honorable mentions?
I
remembered to get some this time.
You did? Okay. Did. Yeah. The honorable mentions that I had, well, I actually really only had one because I did most of this off the top of my head trying to remember good.
Okay.
Found footage movies, I think, because I've seen a lot. The only one I could think of was Creep to put into my honorable mentions.
Yeah, I like Creep quite a bit. And I do think that's a movie that is effective because of the found footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only other one that wasn't on my list that I thought of was Megan Is Missing, but that movie's terrible and I hate it, so I didn't want to put it as an honorable mention.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I had a handful. The M. Night Shyamalan film The Visit. Have you seen that?
That's found footage.
It is.
I had no idea, otherwise I probably would have seen it sooner.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
It's really well done. Yeah, it is. I like, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, he gets a lot of and rightfully so, he gets picked on a lot.
He does.
He's made a lot of bad movies.
Yeah.
His
good ones are good though.
Yeah, but this one, when I saw it, I was like, I don't know if I've seen all of his movies, but I've seen most of his movies. And every time I come out, like, oh geez, that was good. And when I saw this one, I was like, hey, that was actually pretty good. Is he making a comeback? And then he had, I don't remember if this was pre or post Glass. Anyway, so I thought there for a minute he was going to make a comeback, but now he's just him again. I saw old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I had no idea this was found footage. I just remember the trailer of when the kid is like trying to clean the fucking oven and the grandma just kind of like,
yeah,
closes their mind. Yeah,
it is. It's a good found footage movie. I enjoyed it. It does have this annoying character that wants to rap, which is sort of like, hey, but yeah, it's a kid and you're just like, all right, but whatever. Next honorable mention I had is a movie called Devil's Pass.
Never heard of it.
This one, I'm gonna real quick, because I think it had a like a different name or something at one point. It's an over. It was not. It's only listed as Devil's Pass. It's based on a real life incident, apparently. Okay.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking of, and it was originally titled after the real life. It's in a, I don't know how to pronounce it, because it takes place in another country that I can't pronounce their words. But it is. It's directed by Rennie Harlan, who is amazing, and. It's a found footage movie done really well. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I really, really did enjoy it. And it's one I've been wanting to, I've thought about fairly recently, actually, about revisiting. But it's worth a watch. It's about a group of, I don't know if they're college students. It's been a while, but they're Americans and they go to investigate this incident that supposedly happened in these like mountains or whatever. And, you know, things don't go well for them. Spoiler alert. Yeah, the next one I have is a movie called The Den. Have you seen The Den?
It's been on my list of things to watch, and it is on and off and on and off on Netflix. So I've never been able to actually get it when it's on Netflix to watch it, but it has been on my list to watch for a very long time.
Yeah, this is another one sort of like Devil's Pass that it showed up on Netflix one day and I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. And it was really, really good. It's all about this, like, this internet thing. It's been a while since I've seen it and I don't really remember the plot points all that well, but I do remember that I really liked the movie and it's worth checking out. That's one of those sort of, surprise, found footage movies that I've come across. And then The Bay. Have you seen that movie?
Nope.
Okay, that's really good. And I think this is an example of when you get a solid director, what they can do with the found footage format. It's directed by Barry Levinson. And it's a pretty scary movie about like this sort of disease that is ravaging this small town on a bay, you know, mm-hmm. and it's first discovered like because the fish are turning up all disgusting and everything. And sort of goes from there. But yeah, Barry Levinson made it. He's an extremely talented director. I don't know what his budget was for it, but he pulled off the format really well. And then the last one that I have on my honorable mention list is Troll Hunter. I'm going to assume you haven't seen Troll Hunter.
No.
Okay. Well, it's amazing. All right. It's a found footage movie. It's in a foreign language. It's a foreign film. And I can't remember which country it's from. And yeah, it's about a guy who's hunting trolls, and it's awesome. Hmm. I don't know that it's super scary, but I do remember laughing quite a bit. I mean, a troll farts, it's hilarious.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, if you get a chance, sit down and watch Troll Hunter, I think you'll enjoy it. And with that, we can jump into our top five, and we'll start with your number five, Ghost.
At number five, I have Hell House LLC.
Okay. I thought about that one, and I think the reason it did not make my list or honorable mentions is because I hated both the sequels, which isn't fair. I shouldn't hold that against the original movie. Yeah,
I was going to say, you can't hold that against the original.
But I did. I did. I did really enjoy Hell House LLC. Yeah.
Yeah. Telling me, watch it. Do it. And I finally got around to watching it. I was like, oh, fuck, this is actually a really good movie.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it is
an interesting premise.
Yeah, it is a really good movie. And unfortunately, they tried to continue the story with two really, really terrible sequels. But yeah, it's done really well, taking place in that haunted house and everything. That's actually one of the locations that comes up in the movie Terror Trips I was talking about. Like they do they do a tour of that building, you know, the hotel.
Yeah.
And they screen the movie there early in the film. My number five might be higher on your list.
All right.
Maybe. It is Host.
It is much higher on my list.
All right. We'll get to it then when it shows up on your list. So what's your number four?
Houses That October Built.
Okay. Did not have that on my list. Actually kind of forgot about that movie existed, to be honest with you.
Oh my god, I love this movie. I will never forget the first time I watched it. My sister came to visit me at college. She was like, oh, that's a scary movie. Let's watch it. She had already seen it once before. She fell asleep. It scared the shit out of me. That the girl, the doll bitch, scares the ever-loving fuck out. Like, even just thinking about it, like, I have like goosebumps. It scares me. There's something about her just makes me so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I just think it is such a cool movie. Like, it's what a cool premise. They're going around to all these different haunted houses trying to find this extreme haunt.
Yeah.
They find one. It's not what they're looking for, though.
Yeah. So I remember really liking this movie the first time I watched it. And then if I'm not mistaken, we did an episode of Slasher Radio about it. I think you were on that.
Yes, I was on that episode. Yeah.
And I remember not liking it nearly as much.
Yeah.
And I think it was the characters just drove me nuts. And it was because they did not make, none of them made the decision that I would have made at any given time.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I agree that at any moment in time, I would be like, all right, I'm done. We're done. We're turning this shit around. Like, we're out.
Starting with the fact that I hate haunted houses and would never go looking for anything called an extreme haunt. So
agreed. I don't hate haunted houses. I do enjoy them, but definitely not an extreme haunt. The second that fucking crazy doll bitch ended up near me in the fucking bus, I think the fuck not. We're turning this shit around and we're going.
Yeah. Wasn't there at some point she was like on their bus and they're like trying to figure out who she is and stuff. I'm like, why is nobody punching this creepy person?
Why is
in a mask?
No one just kick her out. Right. Go. Like,
you're not at a haunted house right now. You're not at an attraction. You're in the woods and there's a person on your bus.
Yeah. Right? I think some of the reasons, or one of the reasons that both Houses That October Built and Hell House LLC are on this list, are just because, like, the way that like the characters are as groups feels like you're with an actual group of people. It doesn't feel stale. Okay, like their conversations when they fucking cuss at each other and tell each other to fuck off and shit like that. Like that like is real to me. So I think that's why I like them so much is because I can feel like, oh, hey, these are people I would hang out with. Like I get them.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay. My number four is Cloverfield.
Not on my list.
No, not. No,
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Cloverfield?
Nope.
I love this movie. And it gets a lot of hate. And this is a movie that, because it got a theatrical release. A lot of people, like I know a lot of the people who reviewed it were like, oh, it made me sick to my stomach trying to watch it and everything, you know, in theaters, especially.
What? Really?
Yeah, because it's, I mean, you imagine you're in the theater and you got that the cameras all over the place and.
Oh, okay.
You know, it just made people motion sick. It gets kind of a lot of hate, but I mean, it's a giant monster movie that's done in the found footage format. You know, I don't think you normally see like found footage is usually very small contained stories, you know, like Paranormal Activity and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say most found footage movies revolve around Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. This one is, a giant monster destroying a city.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So that's my number four. I just if for nothing else than the ambition behind it, and also the budget. I mean, I think they had a fair amount of money to make Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have at number three?
Number three, I have Blair Witch Project, and I know I'm probably gonna catch a lot of flack for this. I really liked this movie.
Wait, are you talking about the original one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
Yeah. My number three is Unfriended.
See, I thought about putting that in my honorable mentions, but it's also been a while since I've seen it, so I don't really remember it that well. I remember liking it, but I don't remember like much of what happens. So
it is. It's a movie I really like, and. Yeah. I debated about whether to even put it on this list because I don't know that it's really found footage. It's that sort of almost subgenre of found footage, you know, known as, I believe they call it screen life, where everything takes place on a computer screen.
Okay. I've literally never heard of that.
Really?
Before.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But this is 100% found footage to me.
Yeah. So I kind of debated about it for that reason, but ultimately I decided to put it on there. It was the first of these kind of movies I had ever seen where everything takes place on a computer screen. And I think it's really well done. Now, Unfriended, the dark web or whatever that stupid sequel is called, is a piece of garbage. But I really, really did like the original film. And I think the originality, you know, I mean, I had Host at number five, and that, you know,
I'm surprised that you have Host at number five and this at number, what do you have this at?
Number three.
Number three, yeah. And
because I think this laid the groundwork for Host. That's why, in my opinion, it was going to go higher. But anyway, yeah, I really enjoyed Unfriended. We'll get to Host when it shows up on your list, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Unfriended.
I remember liking it. I remember watching it and being like, I should say there are moments that I laughed at it because didn't someone get killed by like a fucking hair straightener or some shit?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the kills and things like that, like it to me, it was kind of funny more than scary. But like, it definitely is a very interesting premise of, oh, this friend that you had or whatever is dead and is now messaging you all. And
yeah,
it's very it gives me Simulacra vibes, which is a game that you play, and it's all in the phone, and you're trying to put these images back together and figure out what the fuck happened to your friend.
Okay,
that's gone and missing. That's the vibes that it's always given me. So I don't remember. I remember liking it, but you know, on rewatch, I'd probably not like it as much.
Rewatch it and let me know, because I really enjoyed it. I've seen it a few times, and I think it's really well done. And again, it's the first movie that I remember taking place on entirely on a computer screen. I just think it's a lot of fun. It's a fun movie. So that is my number three. What do you have at number two?
I actually have Host at number two.
Okay. Well, we can talk about Host.
Yeah.
I love Host. I think Host is really good. It's also has a really short runtime.
I'm really surprised it's so low for you.
Which is incredible. But I think part of the reason I have it so low is because I think that part of the reason it was so effective was because we were all sort of dealing with the pandemic and lockdown, and everybody was using Zoom at the time for everything. And I think that that's what really helped. Like, I think it's more a product of its time than it is necessarily a great movie.
Maybe. I don't know. I think that while, yeah, Unfriended maybe laid the groundwork for this type of, like, all on, you know, camera, like on computer screen type thing, I think that what Host did was better.
Okay.
Than Unfriended. I don't know. I think that all of the things that they did, especially like if you think about the budget of this, was what, like nothing?
Yeah. I mean, it was the cost of probably a Zoom premium account.
Exactly. And what they were able to accomplish versus Unfriended, which was a pretty big release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas Host wasn't, I think that they achieved more with less.
Okay. I can see that. I just, in my opinion, like when I think about it, I'm like, if this movie had come out in 2015, would I think it was this great film? Or is it because it came out in 2020? Or whatever year it came out, that it really struck a chord with its audience. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think that, I don't know. I mean, I'm not someone who really we use Zoom to record this, but I've never had to have like a meeting on Zoom or meet up with my friends on Zoom or anything. Like if I had to think of something that would strike a chord more with me, it would be Unfriended, because around that time, I remember being on Skype calls constantly with my friends.
But, oh, dear God. If I had a friend who was like, hey, let's have a Skype call, I'd be like, yeah, we're not friends anymore.
We used to do it all the time.
Let's meet up on especially Zoom. Like, no.
Oh, my God. If we were like grounded and we couldn't leave the house, Skype. That was the thing.
Yeah, that sounds awful. But I did a million work meetings on Zoom. Still do them, actually. So I don't know. I do enjoy Host. I'm just it's just not quite as high on my list.
Fair.
For those reasons, I guess. My number two is the Spanish film Rec.
Okay.
Have you seen Rec?
I have not, but I've seen the American version.
Quarantine. Yeah, it's basically the same movie. Yeah, honestly. I really did enjoy Rec. I struggle with it because I'm so irritated that I couldn't find the Spanish version when I went to watch it, and I had to watch the stupid dub. That's so annoying. I don't know why that's the case, but the dub or the subtitled version is like nowhere to be found. I had to watch the stupid dub version. But yeah, I mean, it's I think it's a really simple story of people being essentially quarantined inside an apartment building, and all sorts of crazy shit happens. I think it's effectively scary. And I think the acting and stuff isn't bad for the budget and everything that they had. I think they really knocked it out of the park with Rec all the way around. It's a great movie. I would check it out. Even having seen Quarantine, if you get a chance, if you can find the non-dub version, definitely check it out.
Yeah. I think it's definitely been long enough since I've seen Quarantine that I don't remember what the fuck is really happening. I just know that they're like, not human anymore at some point.
Yeah. And
it's like zombie-esque, but not sort really, of, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
And Quarantine, I remember liking, but not nearly as much. For some reason, it just didn't hit as well for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised because, you know, it's usually what happens with American versions. Like, I didn't know that Quarantine was a remake of a foreign film, so I had no idea. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, it was pretty good. It's not bad.
Yeah. And so anyway, that's my number two. What sits atop your list?
Can you guess what it is?
I have a feeling it's going to be that stupid Where's Waldo horror movies.
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, for some reason, everybody seems to think is good.
No, Paranormal Activity was just it's a fucking moment in time. It had its moment. It was terrifying when it came out. I remember fucking watching it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I think I've said this before. I don't care how dumb it makes me sound. Like, I remember watching this and like believing that this shit actually happened.
Dummy.
100%. Like, I went home and was like fucking Googling shit, trying to figure shit out. Like, I was like, holy fuck, this is insane. Like, I watched all the, you know, once I figured out it wasn't real, it didn't take me that long to figure that out, but watching all of the alternate endings that were filmed for it, I just really, really, really loved this movie. It scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
Especially as someone who believes in the paranormal. I think, you know, another movie that was done on a fucking shoestring budget. They didn't really know what the hell they were doing, but they fucking got it together and they made a blockbuster movie considering how many sequels there are.
Absolutely. So I'm hard on this movie, mostly to annoy people, I think, more than anything else. I think it is. I do think it's a little overrated. I do find the movies to be mostly boring, but it is, as you said, a moment in time. Everyone was talking mm-hmm. about Paranormal Activity when it came out. I don't love them the way that everyone else does. It did not make my list. I thought of it. I didn't even put it in my honorable mentions. I just think that there are better examples of this subgenre, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I do think that, you know, this is a wildly popular film. It might still be the highest grossing independent film of all time. You know what I mean? Or the most profitable or whatever. I don't know that for certain. I know at one point it certainly was. So yeah, it certainly, I guess, belongs on your list. It's not a problem. It's just not one of my favorites. You know what I mean? My number one is no surprise, the Blair Witch Project. My number one is no surprise, it's the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. I knew it had to be on your list somewhere.
Yeah. Is it a perfect movie? No. I mean, is it hard to watch at times? Yeah.
I mean, it is good, though. It's another movie, too, where you watch and you're like, this shit could be real. 100%. Yeah.
Well, people believe it was. Stumbled
upon this. Yeah. It's the same thing with Paranormal Activity. Like, you know, is Blair Witch kind of the first found footage? It's kind of is, right?
Well, there were found footage before this. The first one that I think might have been Cannibal Holocaust. Although I don't think that's completely found footage. If I remember, I've seen Cannibal Holocaust. I will never watch it again. It's absolutely horrifying. But I believe it's largely found footage or
right. Okay.
It's actually a pretty good movie. It's just it's disgusting. And it's hard to watch.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. I think Blair Witch Project is the one that ushered in sort of found footage. It made it a major deal or a mainstay, sort of the way that, you know, there were slasher movies before Friday the 13th and Halloween, but those were the two that really kicked off the clock, right, the slasher craze. And I think that that's what Blair Witch did. And part of that was because everybody saw that they made this movie for $4 and a stick of gum and they made a bajillion dollars from it.
Well, you know. And you know, it brought people to the theaters. Everybody wanted to go see this movie because they thought it was real, you know, and I think that was kind of the first big wave of found footage. Paranormal Activity is definitely that second large wave of found footage. You know, that movie came out again and all of a sudden everyone's like, all right, here's what we're doing. Found footage movies. And then Host came out and that was kind of like the next wave. It's like every, I don't know, 10 years or so, they come out with a new one.
Yeah. This godforsaken subgenre just won't die.
Thank God. I love it. Listen, don't get me wrong. There are some really fucking terrible found footage movies, but they're still somehow enjoyable to watch.
Well, you know, it's funny.
And I think because like the character, they have to make the characters relatable and feel like real people. So sometimes it's like they're put in these situations that make no sense. Like there was one I saw and I cannot remember the name off the top of my head, but they were going to John Wayne Gacy's house to like, I don't know, talk to fucking ghosts. And of course the ghost that they get is of John Wayne Gacy.
Right,
and it is fucking hysterical. It is not meant to be at all. But like there's one point he's like, kiss the ghost of John Wayne Gacy is like, kiss my ass. Like fucking hysterical. So funny. Terrible movie. But like if they had done that any other way, it definitely would not have worked. It had to have been found footage, you know?
Right. So. Yeah, it's funny. I'm sort of give found footage movies a hard time, but my favorite subgenre is slasher movies, and there are so many terrible slasher movies. But I don't care. I just want them to keep making them. It doesn't matter to me. So it's, you know, a lot of it just comes down to personal taste too.
Yeah.
But the Blair Witch Project to me is still the king of the found footage. It is the very first movie that comes to mind when somebody says found footage, you know. And it probably always will be. That also might be more due to age than anything else. I mean, I'm an old man. I remember seeing this in theaters when I was in, you know, college or whatever. You know, I'm guessing you didn't see Blair Witch in the theater.
You remember we talked about Blair Witch. Like, I think I watched it right before we talked about found footage movies. I had never seen it before.
Yeah. So,
or if I had seen it, it had been such a long time or I'd only seen parts.
Right. So maybe that's part of the case. Maybe that's the defining found footage movie of my generation and yours is Paranormal Activity, which makes sense in a way. Both of them were movies that cost virtually nothing to make and made a ton of money and also came out of seemingly nowhere. There was a lot of hype around both of them, but it seemed like one day they didn't exist. And then the next day there was all this hype around both of these movies. So anyway, that is our top five found footage films. Is there anything else you want to say about these lists?
No, I'm looking for the John Wayne Gacy movie I was talking about. Okay, good. Because I feel, right here, 8213 Gacy House.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, I see a title like that. I just run right past it.
Yep. It was bad, but also just so fucking funny. Yeah.
All right, I guess that'll do it for this episode of This Horror Life. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at This Horror Life. You can send us an email, thishorrorlife@gmail.com. Ghost, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at GhostCJ with a zero. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/GhostCJ, also with a zero.
All right, and I am on Twitter at RadioRob123. And you can listen to my other show, Slasher Radio, wherever you are listening to This Horror Life. Ghost, thanks so much for your time.
Always a pleasure.